Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehr. Again today, nobody's happy in Washington. After a week of speeches around the country about job creation, President Obama yesterday offered up what he said was a grand bargain.
Here's the bottom line. I'm willing to work with Republicans on reforming our corporate tax code as long as we use the money from transitioning to a simpler tax system for a significant investment in creating middle-class jobs. That's the deal.
See, President Obama must take a page out of the Anthony Weiner playbook. You have to make your statements with swelling inspirational music in the background. But back to the idea of cutting the corporate tax rate in exchange for monies for jobs. Guess what? The House Republicans rejected it out of hand, even though they support lowering the corporate tax rate. Of course, another way of seeing this is that Obama has heartily endorsed lowering the corporate taxes, but now that's the carrot in his negotiation. He also, by the way, managed to upset independent booksellers because he chose to make the announcement at an Amazon distribution center. To explain what this proposal would actually do in the way of cutting corporate taxes and creating jobs, whether it has a chance of becoming reality, we're joined by Robin Farzad, contributing editor of Bloomberg Business Week. Hello, welcome back.
How are you?
I'm great. Okay, what is the corporate tax rate really? I mean, they say 35%, but what do corporations really pay?
Well, it's often well below that. They have loss carryovers. They have various tricks of ledger domain that they use to cut that from the sticker shock rate of 35%. What the president is proposing is that we would cut corporate tax rates to 28% from 35%, with a rate of 25% for manufacturers. And then you would tap about $2 trillion in untaxed offshore earnings, which are just sitting there by giving companies a one-time-only low rate. And then you close some loopholes for special interests, including oil and gas industry and private equity firms, give entrepreneurs a quicker write-off, and suddenly you get a windfall in tax revenue, and you can kick that back into highway spending, bridges, manufacturing institutes, community college job retraining. It's a win-win in theory.
Yeah. Now, whenever people argue against the corporate tax rate, and by the way, this is the corporate tax rate at 35%. That is acknowledged, I think, across the board by economists of most every stripe. It's just too high. And it also is, on paper, the highest in the world. So that would speak to our competitiveness. Although, what is the real rate? What is the effective rate? It's somewhere around 12%, right?
Yes, that's right. It's somewhere around 12%. There is a lot that corporations invest in getting this rate down in terms of loss carryovers, in terms of things that they could do to get it down from the statutory rate. So 35% is really used in a lot of Democratic rhetoric to get these plans some sort of traction, which really they don't have.
Right. So is the 12% considered by economists too high?
No, it's not by and large.
So then, okay, you detailed how President Obama's plan might create a one-time windfall, but will this cure whatever problem there is with corporate taxes if the real rate that corporations are paying isn't that high?
Well, it depends on how well you close the loopholes. I mean, U.S. companies face the highest official corporate tax rate in the world, but there's a big difference. With the 12.6% rate, when you take state rates into account, that 35% jumps to 39.2%.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are all these exemptions that you can avail yourself of. If you look at quarterly earnings reports where companies divulge their effective tax rate, loopholes are really hugely controversial. And it's a question, if you close those loopholes, do you then take the revenue and give it back to corporations and individuals, or do you redeploy it back into jobs training? And that's where the revenue neutrality becomes hugely controversial.
Right. But, you know, from a what's the optimal way to construct a corporate tax code? Is it to have all these loopholes? Because loopholes itself, that's a pejorative word. But, you know, we could also shape policy by saying these things are worthy deductions, these things aren't. Is it better to have a kind of blatant flat tax on corporations, or is it better to have this kind of tax system that might be exploited, but also, on the other hand, might, you know, cause corporations to do things that the public wants corporations to do?
Well, it's such a gameable system the way it is right now. You have such a burgeoning field and industry for tax attorneys to exploit these loopholes. You have things that Apple can do in terms of keeping its cash overseas. You have companies that have significant gains from loss carryovers that can just avoid what is supposed to be a 30-35% rate. And so it's all the devil is in the details. And if you spend so much time and money gaming the system, then the system is not really all that robust to begin with.
Right. Here's how House Speaker John Boehner thinks of President Obama's grand bargain. This proposal allows President Obama to support President Obama's position on taxes and President Obama's position on spending while leaving small businesses and American families behind. How would this leave small businesses behind?
Well, Republicans don't like any tax reform that isn't revenue neutral. The idea here is that small businesses need tax relief, that there's impending worry over the debt ceiling, that small businesses have Obamacare expenses ahead of them, that this isn't something that immediately accrues back to small business. But the Obama administration can come back and say that they are increasing the expensing limit for small businesses to about $1 million. That's a permanent increase. So it's the devil in the details again.
Is it because small businesses don't pay the corporate taxes? They file as individuals?
That's right.
Yeah. This is another global question, but who really pays corporate taxes? Because corporations are doing great while the average worker, or many average workers, are suffering. I think there's some pretty decent research that consumers wind up footing the bill or employees wind up footing the bill.
Yes. I mean, the tax revenue collection, one way or another, the government every year has to rack its brain to collect this money. And if corporations are evading it, it has to get it one way or another. And that 35% rate, if it's not anywhere close to it, if it's a third of that, then you have consumers footing the bill, you have individuals, you have small businesses footing the bill. 35% is very much a number that's out there in theory. And you have the very difficult balancing act here in Congress and with the White House of wanting to get revenue, but also wanting to get tax relief to corporations and individuals. And revenue neutrality is a vexingly difficult thing to try to aspire to.
Well, since the president, as I mentioned in my intro, since the president has already endorsed reforming or revising corporate taxes, how can he use it as a carrot in his plan? I mean, it is, as Boehner notes, this is already part of his agenda. So if you don't give me part of my agenda, I'm going to get mad. How does that work?
Well, part of the agenda is, but it's hard linked to this idea of using that money for jobs creation or community college training or various other programs that would obviate revenue neutrality. Now, if Republicans had it their way, you get these cuts and that money is saved by corporations and individuals. It isn't then earmarked for something else. So there is that carrot and stick approach. And very much the criticism across the board has been that Obama is just his grand bargain is just marrying a couple of pre-existing plans that he has, an 18-month-old corporate tax reform plan with numerous job creation ideas. And so Republicans are largely looking at it as a non-starter.
Yeah, but just because something it has been around for a while doesn't mean it's a terrible idea, especially an idea that hasn't been implemented. You know, maybe implementing the ideas is the grand gesture, not coming up with a new idea. Do you think this has a chance of passing? Do you think the White House thinks this has a chance of passing? And then I'll ask you a follow-up, depending on your answer.
No, it doesn't have a chance.
Right,
to pass.
That's what
it's
I thought.
Something out there that there is a lot of photo op diplomacy in this. That some things that are going right, such as Amazon's warehouse distribution expansion, you can be out there and say that we need more jobs like this, even though the booksellers might disagree. Republicans would jump at the chance of Obama coming out there and crying uncle and saying, "Fine, you get your across the board corporate tax rate decrease, and I'm not going to ask for anything in return. I'm not going to ask for revenue." But it's always been tax cuts versus revenue. How do you straddle the fence between those two? And by and large, this is looked at as a rehashing or a repackaging of some old ideas.
Do you think that, it doesn't have a chance of passing. You call it, you know, some photo op opportunism. Might it push Republicans into a corner that would hurt them in the election? I mean, what the Obama administration desperately hopes for is a Democratic House of Representatives. Then it could really get its agenda passed. Might this go towards that goal?
You know, I don't really see it happening that way. You seem to see this idea out there that the Obama administration would have to give up something else. There'd have to be almost like a Graham Rutman type compromise. This era of collegiality 30 years ago, where you know, Tip O'Neill and others could go out with people from across the aisle and really strike something.
Always drinking scotch, always over a glass of scotch.
Or I see them wearing a lobster bib somewhere. But there isn't enough pain being exacted on either side right now for it to be a true grand bargain. You seem to have this idea out there that both sides would have to give up something more to make this truly possible and doable. And in the absence of it, we just have ongoing debates about the debt ceiling and digging in heels and kicking the can down the road even more.
Does this do anything to dismantle or in any way affect the bargaining that is going on between, say, Dave Camp and Senator Baucus?
No, I think it gives them momentum. I think it shows that this idea of a grand bargain is still something to aspire to genuflect in front of, that if you can get people out there still stoking the fires for a bargain or agitating on Capitol Hill and in the White House, that at least in theory something is possible. But this is just one of many proposals that you're going to see coming out of not just the White House, but individual congressmen and senators trying to strike some sort of balance. Otherwise, we go back to the old default game of arguing over the debt ceiling and revenue versus tax cuts.
And the one last thing which really, really heartens anyone who loves democracy is there is this tete-a-tete over, did you tell me or didn't you tell me? Speaker Boehner's office claimed to have only heard this proposal through the news media. The Obama administration insists that they called his office and gave him a heads up. Who do you believe and does it matter?
I don't think it matters at this point, because what would Speaker Boehner say if he called them up legitimately? He's like, wow, I'm amazed. You're actually going to offer a grand bargain? Put all my calls on hold. I want to listen to this. No, it's a lot of posturing. It's so much posturing and repackaging right now. And I don't mean to sound so cynical, but these guys know exactly where the lines are drawn, where the contours are. And I think by and large, they're just digging in their heels for battle post-summer recess.
Well, Robin Farzad, since cynicism is the belief that everyone is motivated by self-interest, you would be a bad contributing editor of Bloomberg Businessweek if you weren't somewhat cynical. I mean, that's where the bodies are buried.
I'll be shiny happy for you next time, I promise.
Hey, thanks a lot. Robin Farzad on the grand bargain. Was it grand? Is it a bargain? Who knows? But up next, we will be talking about something that does have a degree of grandiosity in a little tiny package, Legos. Stay with us.